Good evening and happy Thanksgiving to all that are here. Good to see you all, and thankfully the storm wasn't really so bad, not quite what they said, and we're able to have church tonight, and welcome to everybody. I know we have some visiting, some coming back home visiting, some just visiting. My sister Lori and her husband Chuck made it in just about a half hour ago, so we're excited to have them and others. Taylor Anderson is back from the cities, so I see Rusty and Lori here from Des Moines. Yes, maybe others that I'm not catching, but welcome to everybody. We have much to give thanks for this night, and that's why we gather. As you see in the bulletin and have seen, the offering tonight goes to the Moore Committee, the Menno Olivet Resources for the Elderly, as we've done for the last few Thanksgiving Eve services. So if you're giving by check, of course, we give to the church, and then we'll make one check to the Moore Committee. And Mary Lee Houck will share in a little bit about some of the things that the Moore Committee does. Also, Christian Ed Committee, I see several of you here, which is great, because we do put up the Christmas tree and all tonight after church, as this Sunday then is the first Sunday of Advent already. So, and others are welcome to help if you so desire. But just so we know that, and this Sunday then is the first Christmas program practice right after church. The other announcements, several of them, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you. We come before you and before your throne as we humble ourselves, Father, under your mighty hand. For you are great and greatly to be praised. And our hearts truly are filled with great thanksgiving as we give thanks to you. As we're going to sing in just a moment, we give thanks because of Jesus Christ, your Son, most of all. We give thanks, Lord, as we say, in Christ we can say, let the weak say, I am strong. In Christ we can say that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we come, as the psalm says, we enter into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and into our courts with praise. With every part of our being, we give you thanks for our health, for our families, for the communities in which we live, for our nation, where we can come freely to serve you, to worship you without fear. We are grateful for that and for so much more. And so, Father, as we come into this sanctuary this evening, we ask that you would fill this place with the glory and wonder of your presence as we say thank you for all that you do, for all that you have done, for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We'll stand together. Our opening hymn, this is in the hymnal if you want to look. It's Give Thanks. You know that is one of our praise courses, but 170, Give Thanks, and then we'll go into 171, which is coming to his presence. So let's stand, please. We'll sing this through twice.
Because it's given, Jesus Christ is so.
praise to his name. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Representatives from our church to the Moore Committee, and they're actually both looking for replacements. So, yes.
For a long time.
That's good.
Maybe somebody will come forward and I won't have to do this. This is the hardest part about being on the Moore Committee. It is. It's not my thing to stand in front of people. But anyway, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Moore Committee. There are about 9 of us on the committee. The average age right now is probably about 74. We have 3 or 4 that are in their 80s. The youngest is in her early 60s. So please, we would really like to find someone, a younger person or two, that will take over for Darlene and I. I've been on, I suppose, 17 years, and you've been on about the same. So, yes, it's time for change. We need some new ideas, and we think somebody younger and some will have some good ideas. But anyway, in the last year, now you all know what the Moore Committee is. It's the Mental Health Resources for the Elderly and those in need. When it was first started, they did just strictly stick with the elderly. But we have found that there's a lot of need with the younger people too, so we have changed our bylaws, and now we do help out wherever we can. And the only way we know that there is a need in the community is if you come to us, someone on the committee, or to one of the pastors and tell them that there is someone that needs some help. So please remember to do that. Anyway, in February of this year, we delivered 130 boxes of Valentine candy and some pudding to those that can't eat candy to the residents and all the residents in the Menno Olivet Care Center, and to the residents from our churches that are in other care centers, and we also gave to other shut-ins and to the senior citizens over 80. And we visit with them whenever we deliver these things, and they thoroughly enjoy that. And then in September, we held our annual volunteer banquet at the Rooster, and that was for volunteers and seniors, and we had over 50 show up for that. We gave a door prize, and we played bingo, and we gave prizes for that. In this fall, before Thanksgiving now, we gave 30 turkeys to the Bethany Food Pantry in Freeman. And I know we've had some people say, well, why do you take them to Freeman? Well, there are quite a few people from the Menno community that do get supplies of food and other items from the Bethany Food Pantry. They have about 90 people that they help during the year. And I can't tell you for sure what the number from our community is, but there is the need, and they needed more turkeys this year, so we tried to help out. And we will be giving over $1,000 in gift cards now just before Christmas to people that are in need, and that's young families and older people. And we have had questions of how that happens, and we get all our information from the pastors. The pastors tell us or give us suggestions. We suggest a few too.
But, now I am in the hot seat.
Well, we really, you know, we don't always know where there is a need, so we're always grateful for the pastors. Well, when Moore Committee first started, the pastors were a very integral part of the Moore Committee. In fact, there were a lot of them that were on the board, and we had men on the board. See? You mustn't laugh. We did. We had quite a few gentlemen that were on the board, and it was a real nice thing to have them. In fact, I think the last one got off about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Yes. Sorry. I have to have notes. I can't remember all of this. And so far this year, we have given four $100 gas cards to individuals that are taking treatments for chemo or whatever, or for whatever medical needs they have. And we gave to one individual that takes this lady to the doctor all the time. He's been doing it for several years, and he's never asked for any kind of reimbursement, and he doesn't have a lot of money himself, so we thought that we would give him $100 this year to help him out. And he was so grateful for that. He really tried to give it back, but we think that he really deserves it. And during the year, we send many birthday cards and sympathy cards to area residents. And we try to address the financial needs of others that are brought to our attention. So really, we need you to help us out. And we had one more little surprise this year. We've never done this before, but we thought since the situation in our community this year with the flooding and everything, we had a couple that had their basement was flooded, and they desperately needed help, and there were lots of people that showed up, and so we went out to the dairy bar and got a bunch of food and took it out to them, and thought that would be something nice for them. Well, lo and behold, someone from their family brought a $100 donation to us to pay forward for the next person that's in need. So, and we operate solely on donations from the churches, all the churches in Menno and the church in Olivet. Every year they give a fairly sizable donation, and once in a while we do get a donation from an individual for a funeral memorial or something like that. So, I know things are not so good most of the time here lately in our community, but if you could just dig a little deeper one more time and give us whatever you can. It doesn't have to be a large amount, but every little dollar that you can give us certainly will help. And you know, God has been good to us, and we cannot forget that. And we have to be good to those individuals here that need our help also. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilee and Darlene, both. Yes, we do get together and meet when it comes to those, the Christmas gift cards, we do. Before we receive our offering for the Moore Committee tonight, 2 Corinthians 9:15, which we'll look at later again in the sermon, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's receive our offering tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do have so much to praise you for. As I said in the opening prayer, and all of those things mentioned and so much more, that we can even gather here tonight, we are grateful. That we can give to the Menno Olivet Resources for the Elderly and all the work that they do throughout the year in our communities of Menno and Olivet in this region. Thank you, Lord, for all those people that were blessed, whose lives were touched with a food gift card, with a turkey for Thanksgiving, with various things throughout the year. Lord, it's given with you in mind. We pray that their hearts, as they receive these gifts, even this Christmas coming, those that receive these gift cards, that they will know it is from you, Father, because you love them, because you gave your only begotten Son for them. And so thank you for Marilee and Darlene, from our church, for being on this committee and serving so faithfully. Bless them, Lord, we pray. And we sing your praises with all of our hearts as we have wonderful words of life, the very word of God that you give to us. So take these gifts, we pray, and multiply them through the work of the Moore Committee. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us, Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Ooh, it's great to see all you tonight. Were you thankful that you only had a half a day of school today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you thankful that you don't have school tomorrow?
Yes.
What else are you thankful for?
God.
For God. Awesome.
Snow.
Jesus.
Snow.
You're thankful for snow? Usually, I am always thankful for that. But this year, not so much.
Getting stuck.
What?
Getting stuck.
Getting stuck? Did you get stuck?
No.
A what? A coat. That's good. We need our coats, especially today, right? Everything and everyone. Those are all good things everybody's saying. All right? Well, look what I brought tonight. I brought a loaf of bread. How many of you like jelly with bread and butter? Or what else? Peanut butter and jelly or just peanut butter? Honey, right. Well, where do you think that bread comes from? Wheat, good, right? Where do you get it? We're going to talk about that at the farm, right? We're going to talk all the way through there, right? So this loaf of bread I got from the store, right? And did some of your mom and dads, do they ever go and buy a loaf of bread at the store? Right. Some of you, your parents, your mom might make the bread. But in our house, we buy the bread. So let's say thank you, God, for the store. Go ahead. Thank you, God, for the store, right? Where do you think the store gets the bread? Okay, but first, you wait, the bakery. Good job. The bakery sends the store the bread, right? So let's say thank you, God, for the bakery. Where do the bakery get the bread?
Farm.
Before that.
Company.
That, yes, they're called millers. And they are the ones that take the wheat and they grind it into flour, right? So let's thank God for the millers.
Thank you, God, for the millers.
Well, where does the millers get the wheat?
The farmers.
Thank you, God.
For the farmers.
Where does the farmer get the seed?
From the field.
From the field. And he plants the seeds, and he has to, what has to help them grow? Rain, water, and sun. And who made those all? All of those? God did, didn't he? So you look at this one loaf of bread and see all the many things that we can be thankful for. And I know you all are thankful for things too, right? Okay, so you know what it says here in Psalms 136, chapter 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Can you say that? So when you're enjoying this holiday and tomorrow and family and food and no school and everything you're going to do, remember to thank God. Many, many things we have to be thankful for, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for everything you've given us, Lord. Everything in this world has come from you, Father. That's good. We just pray for these kids tomorrow that they have a great day with everyone that they'll be around. Let them enjoy the family and the relatives and the games and the food, and help us to be so thankful to you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Anne. I told her, I said, don't squish that loaf of bread, please. That's my toast in the morning. She was whipping it around there pretty good, wasn't she? 794 in the hymnal, let all things now living. 794. Thank you, Cindy. Before I have the scripture reading, I want to read an email that I got, I guess, last week one day from Chuck Swindoll's ministry. So maybe if you're on his mailing list, maybe you got this. But it's called Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll is, I don't know, I'm sure he's in his 70s, I would imagine, but still actively ministering. And it's such a just a neat letter about Thanksgiving. I wanted to share it with you. He says, "I'll never forget the day Thanksgiving became my favorite holiday. I was 10 years old, standing straight beside my desk at South Maid Elementary School in East Houston, pledging allegiance to the flag. On that day in 1944, soldiers were fighting for our freedom across the Pacific and the Atlantic. At home, everything was rationed, from gasoline to toilet paper. We were getting used to things being different, including seeing stars in our neighbors' windows. Those decals said, 'This is the home of a soldier.' Too often, a star changed to a cross, meaning the person had died in combat. It was the day before Thanksgiving as I stood beside my desk. After we honored the flag, our young teacher, as always, led us in prayer." Isn't that something? 1944, in the school. "But this time she began to sob. Tears stung my eyes too as she stumbled through one of the most moving prayers of gratitude I have ever heard. I found out later that she had lost her husband on the blood-washed shores of Normandy. Bravely, she refused to let her grief eclipse her gratitude. At that moment, I fell in love with Thanksgiving. I walked home that afternoon very slowly with profound feelings of gratitude. I stopped somewhere between Japonica Street and Quincy Street. I looked up and promised God that, if needed, I would fight to the finish to keep my country free." I remembered that promise 13 years later when I earned the right to wear the Marine Corps dress blues. I remembered it every time I saluted the flag serving in Okinawa. To this day, I rehearse the words to myself every Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving puts steel in our patriotic bones. It speaks in clear, crisp tones, reminding us of important terms like integrity and courage, determination and discipline, sacrifice and godliness. It was those truths our forefathers declared to be self-evident. It is those truths that have motivated men and women to fight for our freedom ever since. As deep as my patriotism runs, my loyalty to the Lord Jesus runs even deeper. It is for his glory that Cynthia and I began Insight for Living Ministries. It is by his grace that it has grown into a worldwide ministry committed to pouring biblical steel into the bones of people in every nation and equipping them with the truth to fight their very real and personal battles. With joy and thanksgiving, Chuck Swindoll." I thought that was pretty neat. Let's pray before we look into the word here this evening. Heavenly Father, yes, your word, we are so thankful for it. And for those that have fought over the generations of our nation, for the freedoms that we enjoy, that we are able to gather here as we do tonight, that we are able in our nation to have the Word of God available to us in so many different forms. And so, Father, we want to say with your word again this evening, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for all of your blessings that you give to us as we look at some of those in your word. And as we do, I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here this evening. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Amen. So as we look through this, let me back up a little for review, just a little bit on Sunday morning. As I looked through this phrase, as I was praying about really tonight, and then this phrase came to my heart and my mind, but thanks be to God. And I know a couple different verses right off the bat where that was. And as I told you Sunday morning, I thought, well, I wonder how many times that really is said in the New Testament. But thanks be to God. Well, it's five times. Five times, two in Romans, one in 1 Corinthians, and two in 2 Corinthians. And so God gives us reasons to praise him. Often we thank him for many, many natural blessings in our lives, and should, rightly so. But he gives us spiritual reasons to give thanks to him for. And so we looked at the first three of those Sunday morning, the first in Romans 6, 17 and 18 there. But thanks be to God. Well, excuse me, let me back up. I said thanks be to God for setting us free. If you're filling in your blanks on your outline. Thanks be to God for setting us free. And so Paul said, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Being born again. Set free. What the most wonderful thing to say thanks be to God is for our salvation. Number one, above all. Because we know where we're going. We have the victory in this life. And the second point was thanks be to God for victory over sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57. Paul said there, the sting of death is sin. I got ahead of myself, sorry. Paul said this, Romans 7, 24, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He set us free from sin. He gives us the victory over sin, rather, is how I should say it, because in that seventh chapter, we know Paul is laying out this struggle that he had as a believer in Jesus Christ. Sometimes the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. What a wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Why don't you say that? Thanks
be to God.
Yes. He is the one through Jesus Christ who rescues us. The third one we looked at Sunday morning then was thanks be to God for victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that, the whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is a long chapter, is dealing most of it with these people that were coming in and saying, oh, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. And then he deals with this whole, what if there would be no resurrection of the dead? We, of all people, would be most miserable. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, why would we even gather here tonight? And then he goes in to this victory over death, and he talks about these resurrected bodies that we are one day going to receive ourselves, just like Jesus had when he was raised from the dead, and he spent those 40 days then on the earth after his resurrection until his what? Ascension. Okay, just checking if you're with me or not even here. Come on. Okay, 40 days there in that resurrected, glorified body. And it's amazing what we see him doing. Picture of what we will receive one day. So we say, what do we say?
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. We do. All right, fourth. Let's pick up in this fourth one tonight then. Thanks be to God who spreads his message through us. He spreads his message through us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says it. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us, can you imagine? Through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that is a good fragrance, isn't it? There's certain fragrances none of us like. There was about, I don't know what it was, 2 weeks ago, and coming over to church, and boy, there was a skunk that had sprayed somewhere around. I mean, it was even in the Sunday school wing, the smell, and in the social hall, even down here. Remember that? And we're like, whoo, and Ken was working on the boiler and all, and we're like, wow, is that thing in the building or what? And that hung around for quite a while, that fragrance. Well, that just is a fragrance. I don't know if anybody likes that fragrance. It was just, you know, I hardly ever come in the front door. I always come in the Sunday school wing and in. For whatever reason, just a couple days ago, I came out front and I come down and I'm walking by these evergreen trees here. And what do I see laying under the evergreen tree? But that dead skunk. And to my knowledge, it's still there. So if any beloved deacon, elder, other church member feels led by the Spirit of God to remove it, that would be wonderful. Anyway, there it lies. So I thought, that was the culprit right there. Oh, man. God, it says, through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. And that is a good fragrance, isn't it? Thanks be to God. He leads us in this triumphal procession. What a blessing. The picture of that procession goes back, of course, to that time when the scriptures were written and the kings would lead the troops out to battle, and it was straight on face-to-face battle. You know, it wasn't long-distance missiles or anything like that. It was straight on. And that king, the victorious king, would lead his army back to his city, village, whatever, his territory, with his troops following in triumphal procession, and all the town folk that were there were just raising a shout of joy, and then following behind the troops then would be the prisoners of war that they had captured. And so we are in Christ. We get to live in this triumphal procession in Christ, spreading his message. And that is an amazing privilege, isn't it? Through our words, through our actions, through many, many ways. Because guess what? I think we all know it. I hope so. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are his representatives on the planet today. And that's why we need to always be thinking about, how am I acting as a child of God? What's coming out of my mouth? What are my actions showing? And about my faith in Jesus Christ. Would people, as they observe me, would they say, I think that man or that woman is a believer? Or would it be to the contrary, when they would find, oh, I didn't know that person was a Christian? We need to think about that, don't we? He says in that verse, as the verse goes on there, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, we are the fragrance of life. Well, to those who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, yeah, we're the fragrance of life. It's beautiful, isn't it? It is beautiful. But to those who are rejecting Christ, don't want to hear about him, don't want to know about him, it becomes the smell of death. couple ways on that. One, if they truly do not repent and receive Christ, then it is eternal death. Literally, isn't it? On the other hand, it can be it can become a smell of death just like that skunk. It's repulsive, right? Whoa, man, where is that skunk at? And people, if they don't want you to be telling them about Jesus, they can get upset. I don't want to hear about that. Don't talk to me about him anymore. Do you hear me? Have you ever had someone say that to you? Yeah? Right? Depends how vocal you are about your faith in ways. So my mind to this always goes back to my college days at Brookings, and as I was growing in my faith in Christ, it just burned within me so bad that I would be able to pray with somebody to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just burned in me. Was I still in my shy mode days? Oh, yeah. Very much so. Just so happened to be there was a group of men and women from the church I went to that would go out downtown Brookings and talk to people about Jesus on Friday, Saturday nights. And so there I got actually sort of drug into that. I'll just say it that way. But most people were kind. No, that's all right. Or, I don't want to hear about it, or, oh, yeah, I go to church sometimes, or what. But one time, grabbed her on the shirt collar, I got shoved up against the car. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. I'm like, okay, it's cool, man, just let me go. One time, I was driving in the city park there in Brookings, wherever that's even at, I don't even know anymore, but I just thought, I'm going to find somebody, go up to them, and just ask them. And so I did. This guy's working on his car there, and it took me about 4 or 5 trips around the park to get up the courage to stop the car, to get out of the car, to ask him that question. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you something? Sure. Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Yeah, man, cussing me out. Get out of here, you know. Okay, you know. So the smell of death, right, in those examples. But the seed had to be planted, didn't it? And so we have this privilege to be the aroma of Christ to all the world around us. Now, if God leads you to do that way, then go for it. Certainly, I mean, I have come around to different modes today. Of working the conversation around to Christ a little more gently than just kapow, you know. But either way, Taylor knows all about that. Where are you sitting at there? Right? Yes. Thanks be to God. He spreads his message through us. 5. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen. Above all, thanks be to God for Jesus. And this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15, I read it at the offering. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wow. And I've done sermons on this more than once over the years, but so I just want to touch on this part. First, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Paul's writing to the believers in that church at Corinth. They were a pretty prosperous group of people there. The church in Jerusalem was the total opposite. Those believers were living in great poverty because of the persecution of the Pharisees and all the ruling religious people in Jerusalem. They were very much persecuting anyone who claimed faith in Jesus Christ, even saying, don't do business with the Christians, don't do anything with them, they're destroying our faith, and on and on. So Paul was wanting the Corinth church to send them a gift. That's what he's challenging them on before this verse. And then Paul's telling the believers at Corinth, okay? Just like, you know, when we get to last a year ago Mission Fest, when we gave that gift over to Haiti for that family to have a home, which they now have. Incredible, right? Just makes us rejoice. And that's what Paul was saying to the people at Corinth. Your gift is going to cause rejoicing in those believers at Jerusalem, which will as well cause rejoicing among you. But then he says, as great as that will all be, there is a far greater gift, and it is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the part I love about this word, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but that adjective, indescribable, in the Greek, I'll say it, but I'm sure I'm going to murder it, anekdeiagetos, something like that anyway. That word in the Greek is the only time in all of the New Testament that it is used, and the only time in all of the Old Testament as that was translated into the Greek language. It is never used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and only used one time in the whole Greek translation, not translation because it was written in Greek, of the New Testament. Now, is that amazing? I think that is incredible. That God is saying and reserving that word, it's like he was saying there is not an another word, an adjective adequate enough in this language, the Greek language, to describe the wonders of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, say that. For his indescribable gift. Yes. And then the fun part, and I have that in your outline, is to go through these different translations and see how they, in English, try to translate that Greek word. Of course, NIV, indescribable. King James, unspeakable. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. New Living Translation. Thanks be to God for Jesus, a gift too wonderful for words. Amplified, a gift that is precious beyond telling. RSV, Revised Standard, inexpressible. LAM, that's this George M. Lamsa was the guy's name who did this translation. Incomparable. Thanks be to God for his incomparable gift. 20th century New Testament. Inestimable. There you go. Inestimable. That means it's incapable of being estimated or computed. Thanks be to God for his inestimable gift, Jesus. Don't you love that? And that is our Lord and Savior. And so there's five reasons. Maybe take that if you have it filled out in your outline tomorrow. Just an idea here before your Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe you could read through those five statements there at the table before or after your prayer and just give thanks to God for all of those things that we have been given in Christ, because Jesus is the life-changing gift for our life-saving station. Amen? Yes, he is. Let's pray. Lord God, how do we say thanks? Our words seem so inadequate, but you gave us our voices to praise you with, and so we do. And you give us our life on this earth. And we present these bodies before you as living sacrifices, asking you to shine through us your light and your life. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome privilege that you spread the message of salvation through us, your children. And Lord, we ask all of us forgiveness. We all ask for forgiveness for times when we have not done that very well. And we know that you do forgive us, Lord, and we thank you for it. Help us to always be aware and conscious, Lord, of you, that we do not bring reproach to your name, to your church, to your plan, the great plan of salvation, but that you would live through us every moment of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll go to our closing hymn here. This is number 101 in your hymnal, and it is taken from Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell. Let's stand. It's the tune of the doxology, so you'll know the tune. Sorry, sometimes the words that get pulled off the internet differ from the hymnal, I guess. But praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a happy Thanksgiving with your friends and family. See you Sunday morning, God willing.